Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
God says we will suffer. Jesus promised it. The apostles went through. And you and I, we will go through. Change your mind so you can become a firm, strong Christian.
Suffering is an inevitable part of life. But what does the Word of God reveal about its purpose? In this week's lesson, Pastor Neil teaches us to embrace suffering. He says, many times, we view suffering as an attack from the enemy. Yet Scripture teaches that suffering can also be a divine tool God uses to refine, strengthen, and establish us in faith. Pastor Neil emphasized that rather than resisting suffering or viewing it only as hardship, we are called to embrace it with faith, knowing that God is using it for His glory and our ultimate good. Though the pain may be real, so is His promise to restore and strengthen us. May we walk boldly through difficulties, knowing that they are shaping us into the people God has called us to be. Stable, perfect, strong, and settled in Him. Let's listen to Pastor Neil in this week's lesson. Embrace suffering.
I will use as a subject this morning, embrace suffering. Tell the person sitting next to you, embrace suffering. I know by now somebody idea that you would say that suffering is not part of your Christian walk, it's error. This is why we have raised so many Christians who are very feeble and you are very weak. The least thing, I want to stay home. I won't go to church. Here we will keep the scriptures balanced. Amen. Embrace suffering. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want you to look at the 10th verse, 1 Peter chapter 5. The Apostle Peter is writing to a bunch of Christians who are going through suffering. In modern day, we would have told them that God is going to deliver you from your suffering, but Peter doesn't do that. He reminds them of what is important. Are you in 1 Peter chapter 5? I'll read from two versions of the Bible today, from the King James and then also from the NIV. We'll read 1 Peter 5:10, first of all, from King James, because I'll teach from that. If you can read with me, that would be great. Ready? Let's read. But the God of all grace, who had called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a little while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, settle you. Amen. Now, Peter is saying embrace suffering because it has purpose. It has a reason. Please, whenever everything is going well, you don't grow. You only grow when there is pain and when there is suffering. Peter says there are four things that happens to us. He says whenever you suffer, he says your suffering is just for a little while. Somebody say, little while. Your suffering is for a little while. And then he says, it produces, number one, perfection. Number two, it produces stability. When everything is going well, you will not be stable. It is people who have suffered. They know how to stay calm. So it produces perfection. It produces stability. It produces strength. And finally, it settles you. It produces settlement. Many Christians today reject suffering because pastors, including me, we have taught you that the Lord would do it for you. Is that not the one you want? But I want to remind you, we must keep the scriptures in its proper balance. The Lord will do it, but He will do it the way He wants to do it. And suffering is a part of your Christian walk. Everybody say suffering is a part of our Christian walk. The concept of prosperity and God will do it seem to have canceled the idea that suffering is part of our walk. And I know by now you all know that those who preach such things are lying to you, because not all your life is going fine. You agree? There are real challenges you are facing, and you are wondering, how come they say everything is going to be fine and I'm having this challenge? God is not lying. The preachers are. God's word teaches you, you will go through some, not literal suffering. You go through suffering for a little while. Please don't miss the words. So, two questions we normally ask when there is suffering. Why am I suffering like this? Because God wants you to be perfect, stable, strong, and settled. Can you say that with me? God wants you to be one, perfect. Number two, stable. Number three, strong and settled. He wants you to do that. So don't ask that question again. Embrace it. Don't bind the demons. Don't cut short the process. Because when you go through the suffering, you will be where God wants you to be. Are you with me today? So our lesson this morning will follow two parts. Number one, we will look at the scriptural perspectives on suffering. What does the Word of God teach about suffering? And secondly, the purpose of it. So let's begin with the perspective. The book of Luke chapter 9, I'll read a few verses. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus is speaking here and he says, "Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow." The word denying means do not think about your own good. Would Jesus ever say that? He tells you that if you're going to walk with him, he says, forget about your own good. Why? Because when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will cause the good that he wants to come to you. But don't keep looking for it. Then he says, take up your cross. It gives us, the cross is a symbol of death. So it reminds us that for the child of God, if you are going to be a Christian, pain, suffering is part of your Christian walk. I once heard somebody say that pain is inevitable, but suffering is a choice. I don't agree. They are playing around with words. Pain, suffering, trial, temptation, they all are in the same soup. But you can find joy in the midst of your suffering. It is your perspective, how you're looking at it. And many Christians today, we are binding and losing things that God wants to use to perfect us, to make us stable. So no wonder you bind and lose, and the answer has not come. And you seem wishy-washy, but the very thing God wanted to use to make you stable, you are praying it away. I pray that today you will learn. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Read with me if you can, please. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For it has been, what? Granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to... Is that in the Word of God? I know by now somebody is binding me and losing. Stop binding. It's in the Word of God. You will suffer, but you can do it joyfully. And I want to teach you that. The word granted in the context means that you have been given a privilege. We have a privilege to believe on Christ. Is that something we agree with? The second privilege is to suffer. I know that one, we don't want it. The scripture says, we have been privileged to believe in Christ. And then we also have been privileged to suffer for Christ. Philippians chapter 3, look at the 10th verse. Here, Paul the apostle is praying. And notice his prayer. And I don't think this is the prayer most of us want to pray. Read with me. What does he say? I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. Pause there. Most of us will pray. Let's pray that we'll have the power of God. Look at the second part of his prayer. I want to pray also that I can participate in the sufferings of Christ so that I can become like him in his death. Somebody learning anything? Acts chapter 14, we are looking at scripture perspective on suffering. The Word of God teaches you and I will go through some suffering. So little suffering doesn't mean go away. Settle yourself in that marriage. Little suffering won't kill you. It would make you perfect. Some of you, without suffering, you will never pray. God will make sure you pray. Are you in Acts 14? Look at 21. Paul and his compatriots are on a journey, and they said these words. He said, they preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Verse 22, read with me. Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Pause. They went through certain cities and they were strengthening the disciples and they were helping them to stand firm. How did they do that? Next few words. He says, we must go through many what? Hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. We must what? Why are you quiet on me? You must. You can't just enter. You need the hardships to enter. What I'm trying to say to you is that whenever you begin to experience hardship in life, please stop binding Satan because it is not always him. We must go through many. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised. The King James says, don't think it strange. It's not a strange thing for you to suffer. That's what he's saying. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. So suffering should not be strange to Christians. If we put two Christians here and one of them, everything is going fine, and the other one is having a challenge, I bet you most people will say the one having a challenge is either walking in sin, doesn't know God, doesn't pray well, or something else. You see where we've taken Christianity? I don't blame church members. I blame pastors. But I blame you church members too because you make the pastors preach that to you. And people like me who won't preach that to you, you won't come and listen. You are not careful, you die, you go to hell. The reason is very simple, because you are following something that is not truthful. How is God going to make you stable if you run away from suffering? You all be honest. Parents, how many of you would give everything your children ask to them? How many of you? Everything. They said they want that here. You want that here. Now, sometimes God has it, but he withholds it so that he can build some character what in you. Let's use 40-day fasting to draw his hand. Sometimes I have bought something, it's in my safe. My kids want it, but it's there because there's something I'm looking forward in them before I release it. I don't want to build Christians in this building who are weak. I want you to be bold and strong. Amen. Tell the person sitting next to you, stop being a wimp. And just say, I didn't say that. Pastor asked me to say. All right, come on. 1 Peter chapter 5. One more verse on scriptural perspective. Look at verse 9. Here Peter is speaking. Last week we read this verse. He says, resist him. Talking about the devil. He says, resist him. Resist the devil. Stand firm in the faith. Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of It is part of it. When I became a pastor in this place, I have suffered. But it is not meant to destroy me. It makes me what? Stronger each day. I'm sure by now, you getting up, going to work, coming back home, sometimes somebody doesn't like you at your place of work. Stop binding the demons. God wants to build character in you. And you must learn to stand up and say, I am ready to be perfect, stable, strong, and settled. You become settled when you are not running from prophet to prophet. You become settled when you are not running from church to church. You are settled. A rolling stone gathers no. Oh, some of you don't even know that proverb. If you have a stone and you kick it and the stone is rolling, it gathers no moss. But if it is at the same spot, then it gathers. Why? Because the moss around the stone draws moisture to keep the stone not dry so it doesn't break up. I wanted you to understand what that means. So, God says we will suffer. Jesus promised it. The apostles went through. And you and I, we will go through. Change your mind so you can become a firm, strong Christian. If most believers, married believers, understood that pain and suffering is part of our spiritual walk, you will stay in your marriage. You will not walk away. Because something little, me, I can't take it. But you've been taking a lot of things from other places. Take this one also. You who is causing the suffering, stop. Amen. So let's look at the four purposes. I want to just drill into that and we'll close. The four purposes that Peter talks about. He says that, 1 Peter chapter 5, let's read it again. He said, "By the God of all grace, who had called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, make you perfect." Everybody say perfect. So the first purpose of suffering is perfection. Perfection. Now, this is what we call, the Greek word is katarizo, which means it conveys the idea of completeness. Completeness of fitness or preparedness or restoration. So if you read the NIV, it says the God of all grace, after you suffered a little while, will restore you. It's the same word. In other words, God uses our suffering to complete us, to make us to become what he wants us to be. If you don't suffer, you will not be what he wants you to be. 20 years, still a Christian, crying over alcohol. Something ain't right. He will use it to make us fit. He will use it to prepare us so that we become all that God wants us to be. Case in point. You remember Brother Mo, the one in the book of Exodus, Brother Moses? That's Brother Mo. Mo was called, the Bible says, it got into his heart when he was 40 years old that he's a deliverer. Then he messed up and had to run away and stay in the desert for another, what, 40 years. And in those 40 years, the guy knew he was a deliverer, that God was going to use him. But God had to make him suffer so that when he comes and he leads these Israelites. Yeah, I remember these Israelites? They are just like me and you. They talk. Everything they complain. Every second they want to go back to Egypt. In fact, one version says they remember the flesh parts of Egypt. Like the cucumbers and the ribs. And all the stuff they ate. Why are you giving us manna when there's proper food in Egypt? God had to use suffering to make Moses a deliverer. We all want to be like Moses and become deliverers, but we want to bypass the process of suffering. God doesn't do it that way. There was a pastor in London who normally would take my notes when I'm done preaching, and then the following Sunday he would teach it. And one day he called me and said, "This one, when I teach it, it didn't sound the same way." I said, "Because you have not gone through my pain. There are certain things when I say it, my spirit says it a particular way because of what I have gone through." And I said, "Allow God to take you through your own stuff. Then those words will make meaning to you." Amen. When he understood that process, today he preaches very powerfully. Pain and suffering is part of our spiritual walk. You all remember David. Another example about how suffering produces in us, what? Perfection. We become complete. God had to use David, but he had to go through suffering. I think we understood a couple of weeks ago that when David was called, he was just a young boy, maybe 13 or 14, something like that. But he rises to power when he was 30 years old. He has to be willing to wait for that long. If it's today, we would tell him that his ministry is over. Right? People would tell you, "What are you doing? Your ministry is running over." But God says, "That's when I want you to start. But I have to prepare you and get you there." Amen. The second thing that suffering does for us is it gives us stability. Everybody say stability. by the God of all grace, who had called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a little while, will make you perfect and establish, the King James says. Other versions will say, he will establish you. He will what? Now, the Greek word sterizo, that is being translated stability, means to turn resolutely in a particular direction. It means that you are going to render something constant or simply confirm one's mind. You are not here today and there tomorrow. You are focused on one thing. Are you guys with me? Peter is an example. You all remember that when, before Jesus died, Pete was just living his own way. But after facing the Sanhedrin and going through some stuff and dealing with all the Pharisees and others, he comes to a place, you see that Peter is preaching very powerfully. And he's stable. And Jesus is Lord. And he's not denying Jesus in front of a little girl. He's stable. Most of us believers today, we are not stable. We are not stable. Let's say today, you hear that there is some new pastor in town. He's selling water, but it's not expensive. But when you bath that water, every job you are looking for is suffered. Be honest. How many of you won't go for the water? May the Lord help us. When you go through suffering, you know that your Savior is not a human being. Your Savior is God. It makes you stable. So do not bypass these things. Thirdly, the purpose of suffering, the Bible says, it makes you strong. By the God of all grace, who had called you into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, make you perfect, establish, and strengthen you. It will make you what? Strong. Look there with me in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, because Paul speaks about the strength that we need, because we are living in times that things aren't going to just become simple. It will be difficult, but you need the strength of God to go on. Amen. When you listen to the news, you might be discouraged. When other people talk to you, they can discourage you, but if you look to God, I believe that you will make it. Are you in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Verse 9, he says, but he said to me, this is Paul speaking, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect when in your weakness, in the hour of suffering, when there is pain. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest upon me. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 13. I think it's a verse we all like quoting. Ready? Read, everybody. I can do all things. So Christ gives us what? This is one of the verses that is often misinterpreted. I can do all things. You can do all things. How many of you can do all things? You are raising your hands. Pay attention to the contest. You can't keep sinning and it's not through Christ. So there are things you do. If you go back to a few verses before, Paul says, I know how to be poor and I know how to be content. I know how to be abased. In those things, he can do all of them. Keep the contest where they're supposed to be. And the actual contest applies to what we are dealing with. He's talking about suffering. He says, sometimes the suffering affects your finances, so you realize you are in need. And you have to learn contentment. He says, I can do contentment. How? Through Christ who strengthens me. He didn't say you can go claim somebody's husband through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Please write this down. Endurance overcomes weakness. If you learn to endure, you overcome your weaknesses. Most of us, we chicken out too quick. Something happens, we just want to walk away. No. If you learn to endure your sufferings, you will overcome the weaknesses that come your way. Amen. So suffering produces in us perfection. It makes us what we ought to be. Suffering produces in us stability. Suffering produces in us what? Strength. But finally, suffering settles you. 1 Peter 5:10 again, he says, by the God of all grace who had called you into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a little while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen, and what? Settle you. The word settle in this context is that you become grounded. You are not just being moved around. An example is the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and what? Abednego. They were settled in their convictions. You remember how Nebuchadnezzar said, the furnace is heated. And anybody who does not bow when the music is playing, they will be thrown in there. How many of you remember what they said? They said, listen, our God delivers. But just in case God decides he's not going to do it, we're not still going to bow. These are people who have been settled in their convictions. They know God delivers. And they also know that sometimes God doesn't deliver the way we want. They know it. They are settled in their spirits. So let me point out to you three things from the life of these guys that gives you an example about a Christian who is settled. Tell the person sitting next to you, you got to stay settled. We see in their lives a characteristic of a settled Christian. Number one, that believer have conquered the fear of people. They don't fear human beings. It doesn't mean that they disrespect people. What it simply means is that they don't fear people. They did not fear King Nebuchadnezzar nor what he has set up. They told him, he says, Nebu, we are not afraid. Because even if our God does not deliver us, we're bowing, settled. And you must come to that place where you settle. Settle it in your heart, whether you are Republican or Democrat. That whatever they do, that's not what you do. You are settled. There's no fear of what? Of man. The second thing we see in their life is that they conquered the fear of idols. They were not afraid of the idols, that the idols were going to do anything to them. And the third thing we see is that they put their trust, all of their trust, not part of it, all of their trust, they put it in God. And God came through for them. Peter says, when I suffer, God will perfect me. When I suffer, God will do what? Make me stable. When I suffer, God will do what? Strengthen me. And when I suffer, God will do what? But let's take some advice from a guy called Solomon. Solomon gave a picture and says that, he said, it is only a fool when he is put in the mortar and pounded that does not learn anything. In other words, it's possible to go through suffering and not learn a thing. Because you do not understand that it produces stability and strength and all those things in you. So you don't learn from it. And I pray that you will not be like that. Amen. Let me end this morning with a story of, it's in the book of Psalm 73. Please write it down. Asaph was wondering if God was real. His problem was that he observed many people who were not Christians. And he was kind of worried that how in the world that the people who are not Christians, they get away with a lot. Let me mention a few verses. Psalm 73, look at verse 2. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He observed three things about wicked people. Do you realize that sometimes those who are not Christians actually don't suffer much? As for life, everybody will suffer. But the ones the other side, they don't suffer much. Right? And that is what Asaph is talking about here. When I observe their prosperity, like, the guys were making more money than we are. Then he saw their peace. They had more peace than the average Christian. Then he says, I also saw not just their prosperity and their peace, but I also saw their pride. How that they could just live large and flaunt their hands around like, yeah, we are. Please look at verse 17 because he says something that is so telling, and I'll leave it with you. Starting from verse 16, please. He says, when I try to understand all of this, It troubled me deeply. How can the believer struggle that much? And then the one who does not know God seems to be getting away with everything. Most of the rich people in this world are not Christians. Do you agree? So Asaph is correct. And it didn't begin today. Look at verse 17. He said, it troubled me until I entered the sanctuary of God. The word sanctuary in the context is not talking about a building. It says, until I entered the presence of God, then I understood the final destiny of the unrighteous.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.